your hands all belong. You'll never let me go so close.
Hallelujah.
You'll never let me go so close. You'll never let me go.
Father, we thank you again for your presence in our midst. Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we will not leave this place. As we go from worship into the word, we ask that our presence follow us. In the ministry of the word, come and anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that is on me upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically here, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, wherever they are, all over the world. So that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will do it with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out a treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, amen. This afternoon I have an important instructional message for us in the light of what is going on around us. And I've entitled it, Making Afflictions Light. Making Afflictions Light. As a preamble, let us know that as Christians, we cannot escape afflictions. The Bible says everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You see, affliction can also be called persecution. Persecution is actually when people, you know, reject you verbally, you know, and persecute you and say negative things about you. Affliction is attack. It could be bodily, it could be psychologically, it could be mental, it could be physical, it could be circumstantial, you know. And the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. All. However, you know, we need to understand that afflictions will come. It's very critical. Many Christians want to live in a fantasy world and say, oh, you know, I'm a Christian, I can never suffer any affliction. There's no such thing. It's an illusion. It doesn't exist. If you are a person who is a doer of God's word, you will attract affliction. Affliction and persecution arises, what? For the word's sake. Now, what you have to understand, which is what I want to teach you now, is how to make it light. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 17 is a great scripture. Paul is talking about the problems he's gone through. You know, the fact that, you know, he's going through all kinds of pressures and all of that. You know, Paul went through quite a bit. In fact, there's a very long list in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But I'm not going to read that today. He says, for our light affliction, I didn't hear you, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. If you look at that in the Amplified Bible, it says, for our light momentary. You see, in the light of your whole life on earth, usually we live, you know, 80, 100, 120 years. The years of affliction and the times of affliction are very small. If you live right, I'm going to give you examples in a minute, you know, compared to the times of blessing that you're going to enjoy. He said, for a light momentary affliction, the slight distress of this passing hour. Turn to your neighbor and say, coronavirus is a passing hour. It's passing. It has come and it will go. Hallelujah. Is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Hallelujah. I heard Kenneth Copeland say this many, many years ago, and I've never forgotten it. You know, there's something you just hear, they stick in your spirit. I heard it 40 years ago in the Kenneth Hagin Camp meeting in 1918, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he said, affliction is the lightweight, glory is the heavyweight. You know, if you have two boxers in a ring, you know, you have the heavyweight boxer, you have a lightweight boxer. Compared to the glory of God that you can generate in your life, any affliction that comes to you is a lightweight. You can easily knock it out. The coronavirus is a lightweight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to teach you now how to make it a lightweight. Hallelujah. Now, to teach this, I'm going to use the example of what I call three men in a storm. This was actually taught us by Papa Ralph Martin many, many years ago. Comparing how the three men endured and overcame the storm. Jesus was in a storm. How many people know that? Paul was in a storm. Jonah was in a storm. The affliction of Jonah in the storm was very heavy. It literally killed him. It literally killed him. He found himself in the belly of the whale, you know, and it was the mercy of God, by his mercies we are not consumed, that he came out of that place. You know, technically speaking, Jonah was dead. Amen. Paul, on the other hand, endured the storm. The storm did not kill him, but it destroyed the ship. And it destroyed, you know, the things that were inside the ship. But Jesus' case, the same storm. He did not even destroy anything inside the boat. And Jesus and all the people with him got to the other side. Hallelujah. Now, what I want to teach you, by the grace and the mercy of God, is how to be like Jesus. You don't want to be like Jonah. Amen. And you don't want to be like Paul. Well, you like Paul, but you want to go beyond that. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I remember Papa Ralph saying this. You know, the reason why the three afflictions, the three storms, had different effects was this. Jonah was out of the will of God. Paul was in the will of God. But Jesus was the will of God. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to repeat that. Jonah was out of the will of God. That's why the storm overwhelmed him. When you're out of the will of God, storms will overwhelm you. Then Paul was in the will of God, but Jesus had become the will of God. You know, you can get to a place in your life where you become the will of God. Hallelujah. He said he will see the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. God will see in you the finished work of all he suffered for. So you now become personified the will of God. When, watch this, darling. When you become the will of God, you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. And one of the things you will is say, peace, be still. And the storm will cease. Glory be to God. So we want to see how to progress from Jonah to Paul to Jesus. Jonah is 30-fold. He still went to heaven. The storm overwhelmed him. You know, the mercies of God kept him, brought him out of the belly of the whale. You know, by his mercies were not consumed. But you don't want to live that way. You don't want to live your life going from storm to storm. And the storm keeps overwhelming you. And that happens to a lot of Christians because they're out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. Let me give an example. You know, I'm going to use Paul, but in a different context. The same story, but in a different context. You know, what happened that day was that, you know, in that journey, was that they were taking Paul to Rome, you know, with a centurion and some soldiers and some other prisoners. So they got to a particular place, and Paul warned them. He said, "I perceive. I want to teach you something, brethren. Learn to believe the perceptions of people who are spiritually mature and who are very sensitive to the Holy Spirit." Paul did not say, "Thus said the Lord." He only said, "I perceive." But the "I perceive" was the will of God. I've taught this recently, and I want to remind us, and it is this. You know, when we get to the Jesus level, your perception will be like discerning of spirits. It will be like if you saw God and God spoke to you. Your faith will be like special faith that will produce results, and it will produce workings of miracles. You know, Jesus did a lot of things. For instance, the woman with the issue of blood, it wasn't the gifts of the Spirit. It was not. It was the power of the Spirit without measure that went down. It was her faith. Jesus said so. Jesus even had nothing to do with it. Jesus was just walking, you know, going to Jairus' house. This woman came through the cloud and touched him. But instantly, virtue went out of him and healed her. He said there was a working of miracles. Instantly. That's where we're going. That's what we're going. You see, God wants us to go from Jonah to Paul to Jesus. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You want to, you know, you can't keep living in that 30-fold level. You can't go from storm to storm into the belly of the whale every day, belly of the whale. You know, if you're not careful, one day the belly of the whale will close up. And God doesn't want that for you. Are you listening? So you need to get in the will of God. So Paul told them, he said, "I perceive that this journey is going to be of great danger, not only for our lives, but for the ship, but also for our lives." They said they didn't believe him. Now, listen to this. When they set sail, there was a soft south wind. It looked as if everything they did was, everything was well. Whenever you are, this is a word, especially for many of our young people who want to go on the fast lane. You know, when you try and do your own thing, at first it will look as if it's working. There's a small, but you are out of the will of God. And if you're out of the will of God, that storm is going to overcome you. The only thing that will save you is the mercy of God. So you don't want to get out of the will of God. You know, that's why there may be so many things. You know, things like marriage, career, all of that. You want to really find out what is the will of God. Because if you enter it, once the storms start, those storms are going to overwhelm you. Because you are originally out of the will of God. Is this clear? He says, "But long after there arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclidon." And if not for Paul, that Paul was there and Paul was in the will of God, they would have all perished. In fact, God told Paul, an angel appeared to him and said, "Tell all of them to stay inside the ship." He said, because if they don't stay inside, anybody who goes out, he will die. They were under his covering. Because all of them were out of the will of God. Only Paul was in the will of God. So only Paul could save them. Paul, in that context, now became a savior from Mount Zion. He became a savior. Everybody in that ship owed their life to Paul. God, the angel said, he said, "Lord, God has given thee all of them that sail with thee." There are many people going through this coronavirus. Your life will be saved because of who you are hooked up with spiritually. No bone will be broken. And the Bible also says in Psalm 112, it says that we will deliver those who are appointed unto death. Not so much because of you, but because of the covering you're living under and those you are associated with. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God wants you to recognize the Pauls that he sends to you. You know, God was the one who sent Paul to that centurion and all the people on that ship. Initially, they didn't recognize him. The centurion believed the captain of the ship more than the things that were said about. But later on, it was Paul who became the captain of the ship. When the Bible says after they had gone for 14 days and there was no hope of them, you know, Paul, after long abstinence, he had fasted and prayed. He said, "Sirs, be of good cheer." He says, "The God whose I am and whom I serve has sent his angel, and there shall be no loss. There will be a loss of the ship, but there shall be no loss of life." He said, "Now take, eat food." You know, he took charge by the Spirit. Amen. Many of us don't recognize our Pauls until after a storm. When we are telling you at first, say, "Oh, you know, they're just maybe trying to control me," or they perceive, you know. But it's later when everything, when the Euclidon has hit, that they can now come and say, "Okay, we still have mercy on you. You know, this is what you should do." But you will lose a lot of things, though. You will lose a lot of things. Your life will be saved, but you will lose a lot of things. Because you did not believe the prophet at the beginning. When he said, "Believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper." So that's a very, very important truth and typology there. You know, you need to be able to perceive. You know, he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Perceive the people who are serving God. And then they say, "Perceive," so even if you don't understand it, and it doesn't look like it. It didn't look like what Paul said. The Bible says that the captain believed the owner of the ship. You know, he said, and the place was nice to dwell in. And it seemed as if they had obtained their purpose. And a soft south wind blew softly. So it looked as if Paul was wrong. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It will look okay initially until the storm comes. So that's why it's good to believe before the storm comes. If you believe after the storm comes, well, you'll be saved by the mercy and the grace of God, but you will suffer loss. They lost everything. They almost lost their lives. If it was not for Paul and Paul's prayer and covering, they would all have died. We need to be very careful. Okay, so having said that, let's move forward. So we want to go from Jonah to Paul to Jesus. You don't just want to be in the will of God, you also want to become the will of God. You yourself, personalized, becomes the will of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh. The Word now becomes flesh in you. Then you now become the will of God. Hallelujah. And so it's very important for us to realize this so that you don't allow yourself to allow afflictions to overcome you. See, when the affliction overcomes, the affliction is heavy. But you can make the affliction light. Now, I want to look at three other men. I've looked at Jonah, Paul, and Jesus. I want to look at three men, you know, again in the Bible, who their lives, they had afflictions. But the afflictions were light. The afflictions never, they didn't last long, number one. Number two, there was minimal collateral damage. They had a little bit of, you know, but very little. The first person is Joseph. You know, Joseph had a lot of afflictions. His brothers sold him into slavery, you know, and then when he got in there, you know, he was sold into Potiphar's house. You know, and then he served Potiphar. And then the wife tried to seduce him. He didn't agree. You know, then he was taken to jail. You know, and then he was in jail. The butler and the baker, he interpreted their dreams. The butler forgot him for 2 years. You know, so he suffered afflictions. He suffered deprivations. But do you know that in all of his afflictions, Joseph was blessed? The favor of God was always on him. We don't read of Joseph being beaten with whips or his back, you know, or any bad thing happened. He wasn't sick, you know. He was under affliction, but the affliction was light. His all the afflictions of Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house, he was prospering. Hallelujah. When he was in the jail, he was prospering. So you can be in affliction and the affliction can be light. I'm going to show you how to do it. You know, there's a way of living your life as a Christian where the affliction in your, those afflictions, they will come, but the effect on you will be very minimal. Not that they won't come, they will come, but the effect, because of the, watch this, the spiritual force field you would have built around yourself through years of prayer and walking in righteousness. It will come, but the effect will be minimal. That's why it's called the light affliction. It will be there, but it will be minimal. The second person is Daniel. Daniel went, you know, he was taken as a slave after the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. You know, but what happened? Look at Daniel. In a foreign land, in a, watch this, darling, godless land. Totally, you can't get it worse than Babylon. Totally godless. In fact, there's a message I'm preparing. I don't know when I'm going to give it. Maybe in 2-3 weeks, I don't know. It's called Daniel Had No Temple. Is similar to Joseph Had No Bible. Another message for another day. So those of you at home, don't miss church. I won't tell you the day I'm going to preach it. So just make sure, you know, Daniel, there was no temple. No priests. No sacrifices. I got a word for you. Daniel became his temple. They can close the buildings, they cannot close the temple. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Right there in your house, right there in your sitting room, you have your temple there. Glory be to God. You don't have to wait until when we come together to serve God. You don't have to wait until when we come together to worship God like we've been doing this morning, or to hear the word of God. You are right there in your home and you are having church in your home. Daniel had no temple. Coronavirus is not allowing the churches to open, so but we take the temple to our house. The temple is you. For ye are the temple of the living God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your soul is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So everything you can do in church when we come together in a building, do it at home. It's just as effective. Daniel proved it. See this boy, 16, 17 years old. He's in a foreign land. A slave. You don't want to know what slaves were like in those days. In those days, a slave is like a cockroach today. You can just, and that's it. Just annoy, not Nebuchadnezzar, just any of the overseers. Just say something, irritates him. He will slap you, use a spear and kill you. No account. You're a slave. You account for nothing. It was in that situation Daniel was taken with chains. All the way from Jerusalem, all the way to Babylon. But this boy, the faith in God never left his heart. He took the temple with him inside his heart. So when they got to Babylon, they gave them all this funny food to eat, you know, so that they would be properly built up, and you know, because they wanted them to be used by the king of Babylon. You know, the Bible says Daniel found favor. See, when you find favor, afflictions will be light. The Bible says, you know what Daniel said? He said, you know, they said, you know, let you know, eat the. Then he went to. The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. That's where the temple is. Daniel purposed. He made the decision. I don't want to defile myself with this unclean food. Incidentally, this is free of charge. Watch what you eat so you don't get coronavirus. Now, I know, you know, there's a lot of controversy on this, but I can tell you, you know, even some of these strange foods and animals that, you know, these are things the Bible calls unclean foods. They're the source. This is a scientific fact, you know, of certain viruses that move from animal to man. Because we're consuming some things that should not be consuming. So these health laws and dietary laws, they're not just legalistic laws. They're actually public health laws. God, knowing what was inside some of the animals there, he said, this one is not clean. This one is unclean. Let's say it in today's way. This one has virus. This one doesn't have virus.
He said, I didn't have the knowledge of science that we have today. But God knew. God said, don't eat it. Now, today in the New Testament, you can eat anything. Let me just qualify that. So long as you pray over it and you bless and sanctify it, you know, by the word of God and prayer. And then a lot of these things, we can clean them now. We know how to clean them properly and all of that. But right on the other hand, you know, you need to be sent with the Holy Spirit. You know, don't just put anything in your mouth. And go and pick something up you shouldn't pick. And that's free of charge. From the book of Daniel. Amen? So Daniel said, I'm not going to eat this unclean food of the king of Babylon. You know, he had made that decision. Watch this. Look at the sequence. It was the decision he made in his heart. Listen! That attracted the mercy and the grace. So he goes to the person who is in charge of the eunuchs, Aspenaz or somebody like that. You know, and he says to him, he said, you know, I don't want to eat this, you know, because it's against the faith of my God. And that one said, you have to eat it, though, because, you know, they after some time, they will check how you look. And if you're not looking good and healthy, you know, you know, Nebuchadnezzar is crazy. This will be translation. You know, the boss is a crazy guy. You know, he would just ask them to cut my head off, you know. And then Daniel said, chill. This will be 21st century chances. Daniel said, chill. He said, give us 10 days. Give us 10 days. You know, we will eat vegetables and water. You understand? Which, incidentally, is a very good diet. It's a vegetarian diet. I'm not saying you should be a vegetarian, but you know, no, seriously. You can get a lot of good, you know, protein and all of that. You can eat some fish and also, you know. But you know, we need to really ask God for how we eat. So anyway, Daniel says, look, let's eat vegetables and some. He said, and in 10 days, if we are not looking as good as the other people, then we'll go back to your food. But if we are, then we're fine. It was affliction. It was an affliction. You understand? Do you know that the Bible says after 10 days, you know, so he consented to them in this matter and proved them or tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Affliction. But he was light. He was a slave. He was supposed to be eating the food that had been dedicated to the gods of Babylon. The food of the emperor. He refused to. And it could have cost him his life. But he gave him favor. That's how you can turn affliction around. What should have resulted in him being killed? God used it. So the affliction that was heavy became light. What became for destruction now became for elevation. Are you listening to me? Fast forward to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel went through a lot of afflictions, but nothing ever touched him. Nothing. He had minimal, almost zero collateral damage. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, which I preached about the other day, you know, on the stone and mountain of prayer, you know, and he couldn't remember the dream, and he wanted them to interpret it, you know, and he said they should go and kill all the wise men of Babylon, including Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, anyway, to cut a long story short, we know the story. Daniel says, look, the king is hasty in his matters. Give us one night. We'll do an all night. God will speak to us and give us revelation. And that's exactly what happened. And that affliction was turned around. It actually caused a promotion. What mommy just said, an elevation. Daniel and his, you know, so the time of danger was just those 24 hours. In those 24 hours, you know, it was a temporary. And after 24 hours, when he interpreted the dream, he was elevated. You can shorten affliction. You can shorten affliction. Fast forward to Daniel chapter 3. This time, Daniel was not there, but his guys were there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, builds this idol of gold. Says everybody should bow before it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, son, since king, we're not going to bow. Again, they go through affliction. Nebuchadnezzar gets very angry and says, what do you mean? If you don't bow, you're going to burn. And he said, will you now bow? They said, no. He said, hit the thing 7 times hotter. They heated the furnace of fire 7 times hotter so that even the people who took them to put them inside, they died. That's how hot it was, you know. And they dropped these 3 boys inside the fire. The Bible says that when they got inside the fire, he said the fire did not hurt them. He said they saw them. Nebuchadnezzar got up from his throne and he saw the 3 boys walking around inside the fire with a 4th man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a clap offering. The 4th man in the fire. Hallelujah. Amen. They were inside the affliction. They were inside the fire, but the fire didn't touch them. You can come to a place in your Christian life where you will be afflicted, but it will not touch you. Are you listening to me? The fire came against them. They enter. It's in Isaiah chapter 43. He says, when you go into the fire, he said, it shall not kindle upon thee. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? When thou, thank you. This is a beautiful scripture. Everybody read it with me. Say, when thou passest through the waters, turn to your neighbor and say, God is talking to me, you know. This is me. This is me. Coronavirus isn't going to touch me. Hallelujah. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hallelujah! This is light affliction. The water is an affliction. The rivers are an affliction. The fire are an affliction, but they don't touch him. So the affliction is light. Are you listening to me? You must learn this truth. So God didn't say the waters wouldn't come. He didn't say the rivers wouldn't come. He didn't say the fire wouldn't come. But he promised protection inside them such that no collateral damage. That's called light. Everybody say light affliction. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to make all my afflictions going forward. All of them will have to be light. Because I am generating the heavy weight of glory. When the enemy shall come in, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise. And who is the Spirit of God? Is the glory of God. The glory of God that raised up Jesus from the dead. He said the glory of God will be our rear guard. So that's the heavy weight. It will always give a sucker punch, you know, to the affliction and knock the affliction out. Are you listening? Always. The problem with most Christians is that they don't know how to generate the glory. They don't generate it in strong enough measure, so the affliction now is heavy. I just got another tweet. Don't be a spiritual lightweight. You know, Muhammad Ali. Everybody remember of blessed memory. You know, he was a heavyweight champion. You know, you need to get yourself spiritually built up to become a spiritual heavyweight. And Satan never wants to meet you in the ring. Because when he meets you in the ring, you're going to give him, a knockout. A TKO. A technical knockout. You're going to flit around like a butterfly. You're going to sting like a bee. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Incidentally, the butterfly is the Christian that develops into the fullness of Christ. You're not a caterpillar. You know, if you're a caterpillar, that thing will just squash you like this. But if you're a butterfly, you flit like a butterfly, then you sting like a bee. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But to do that, you have to train. You know, he didn't get that. He used to train, you know, and discipline himself. So that, you know, he was physically fit and strong. And then, not only was he strong, he also had wisdom and skill. He knew how to fight and how to hit the person, keep the person on the ropes, you know, hit, and then move back. Hit, and then he would use psychological warfare. He said, I'm going to finish you. I'm going to defeat you. He had what he said. Do the same with the devil. You keep speak the word to him, amen. And then flit like a butterfly and sting like a bee. And your affliction will become light. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Glory be to God. Amen. So fast forward. We'll go back to Daniel. I'm telling you all the afflictions in Daniel's life. To Daniel chapter 6. Darius becomes king. You know, they make a decree that nobody should pray. Daniel goes ahead with his prayers. And they drop in the lion's den. Trust me, that's an affliction. It's a serious affliction. Hallelujah. It only lasts, it doesn't even last 24 hours. It probably lasted about 12, 14, 15 hours. He was put inside the lion's den. The king couldn't sleep. Very early in the morning, the guy goes and said, Daniel, thy God whom you serve, he said, is he able to deliver you? He said, oh, king, you know, my God has delivered me. You know, he was afflicted, but it was a light affliction. Nothing touched his body. You find that characteristic throughout the life of Daniel. Daniel is a very good example of making your afflictions light. Daniel had problems. He was a slave. He was threatened with death when he wasn't going to eat the king's food. He was threatened with death to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. They were threatened with a furnace of fire when they were going to bow to the idol. You understand? So it was. They had their share of afflictions, but in every affliction they overcame. He delivered. Thank you, darling. He delivered them out of them all. The third person, I said I'm going to give you three men. You know, the first one is Joseph. The second one is Daniel. The third one, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had a lot of afflictions all his life. A lot of afflictions. He was delivered, you know, from when he was a baby. You know, immediately he was born. You know, Herod tried to kill him. They had to take him to Egypt, remember? Hello? And brought him back, you know, and then at that time he was a baby. And then all the years of growing up, you know, and then when he came into his ministry, you know, remember he went to Nazareth, they tried to throw him over the cliff. And many times they tried to kill him. It wasn't once, so it was a lot of time. The Bible says, and they sought to kill him. And like I said recently, talking about this coronavirus, I said Jesus was careful, but he was not fearful. The Bible says when he knew that they tried to kill him, Jesus did not walk in jury. Many Christians are very presumptuous and they are very foolish. They think that they have, it's not really faith, it's presumptuousness. And then they go and start walking in jury when Satan is trying to kill them. Whereas at such a time, you should hide yourself. Jesus hid himself. One time they were going in John chapter 7, his brothers, they were going for the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus said, you guys go ahead. He said, the world is not looking for you, it's looking for me. Then, you know, he too went, but he went in secret. Jesus was careful, but he was not fearful. So many of our Christian brethren don't have that wisdom. And that is why their afflictions are heavy. Because it takes the wisdom of God to know where to walk and when not to walk. You know, when to conduct, how to conduct yourself in different situations. Like this coronavirus. You know, you hear some Christians say, no, we can come to church. God will protect us. That's foolishness. Foolishness of the highest order. You know why? Even the Bible teaches social distancing. Go and check Leviticus. Go and check the Old Testament. Whenever a person had a plague, either like a leprosy, they said they'll keep him in his house for 7 days. Then the priest will come and check him again. Then after they will check him again, then they will wait another 7 days. Then when the thing has gone, then they will not destroy the house. They will clean all the materials. Just like what we're doing. The Bible taught quarantine. It taught isolation. It taught social distancing. The reason why the woman with the issue of blood was so afraid was she had broken the law of social distance. Because if you had an issue of blood, you are not supposed to mix with the crowd. You should be saying unclean, 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 so that you don't pass the disease or the virus or the germs to the general public. That was why God gave Israel such stringent public health laws. Wash your hand. If you touch a dead body, you have to wash your hand. Then you go out of the camp and you stay there until evening. Then you come back again and all your clothes, you take it off and you wash it. If you use a clay pot to wash your hand, if you touch an unclean animal, like a dead animal or a dead person, you will not only wash your hand, you will destroy the pot. It's all in the Bible. Thank you. Oh, I like the message here. On the seventh day, open your mouth, people. Turn to your neighbor and say, the government is doing the right thing. Is inside the Bible. You know, our own quarantine, I think, is 14 days. So we're on the right track. On the seventh day, the priest will examine it again. So it means that he had done one 7 days. It's quarantine. It's 14 days actually. And if in his judgment the sore is the same and has not spread, the priest will keep him in quarantine for what? Another 7 days. Give the Lord a clap offering. And unwise Christians will say they won't do this. It's in the Bible. God taught social distancing and quarantine long before coronavirus. Long before it. And you know, I've said this many times over the years when I've taught about divine healing and health. All those laws are still in operation. See, when we say we are not under the law, people misunderstand that. It doesn't mean we're no longer under the law of animal sacrifices and ceremonial observances. In particular, I don't have to go to Jerusalem at the Feast of Passover, at the Feast of Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, like in the Old Testament. I don't have to kill an animal every time I sin on the Day of Atonement. We're free from all of that. But the moral laws and some of these public health laws are still in force because the things that are causing them are still around. So washing my hands, not as a religious thing now, not as a way of righteousness, of making me right with God, but keeping me healthy. And that's why the Bible says that if you shall keep the law, you know, when you come into the land, it says keep all these commandments that I give you, keep it, you know. And when you keep it, you know what the Bible says? It says, and I will not allow the diseases of the Egyptians to come upon you. For my name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. All these laws are involved in that. And we all, you know, say, no, I can, you know, I can touch anything. You know, God has set me free. You're being foolish. You're being foolish. Observe the laws of social distancing, of quarantine, you know, particularly in these times. It's all part of the Bible. And if you want to stay healthy and live long, you know, this is part of the wisdom of God. You have to, you know, it's wisdom that causes people to live long or look short. He says, wisdom. He says, I will lengthen thy days. And if you despise wisdom, it will shorten your days. It's in the book of Proverbs. So you need to do what the Bible actually says. You know? So we find Daniel, you know, observing all of these laws. And you find him living for a long time. The Lord Jesus, the same thing. You find Jesus observing this thing. He kept the law. Jesus was careful, but he was not fearful. So you don't see Jesus sick. You don't see him with any kind of affliction. Now, he had afflictions, but they were always light. Remember, he went to Nazareth? They wanted to throw him over the cliff. Remember? They held him. They took him to the edge of the city. You know, they wanted to throw him over the cliff. The Bible says, and he walked in the midst of them. And nobody was able to touch him because he was walking in the Spirit. Are you listening to me? So you see, Jesus also had affliction. When they finally arrested him to kill him, he allowed it. The affliction, the glory was there. The heavyweight glory was there to protect him. So when they said, which of you is Jesus? And I said, I am he. Everybody fell down to show he was in control. Then he said, you can arrest me now. This will be translation. I permit you to arrest me. And these ones, Peter, James, and John, let them go. And they went. Jesus was somebody who had, he had afflictions, but all his afflictions were light. They had no collateral damage. And we as Christians must learn to be like Joseph, to be like Daniel, and to be like Jesus. And I have used Joseph and Daniel in particular to show that they were ordinary men. People say, well, that's Jesus. No, Daniel was an ordinary man in the Old Testament. Joseph was an ordinary man in the Old Testament. But by walking with God the way they did, they made every affliction in their lives light. In the book of Job 36:11, which is one of our prosperity scriptures, he says, if they obey and serve me, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Does that mean they won't have any problem? No. But all their problems will be light. Because they obey and serve God, the glory of God that they generate will be a heavyweight and it will keep knocking out all the afflictions. Look at the life of Daniel again. And I'm going to close now and show you how we're going to do it. You know, look at the life of Daniel again. Majority of his life was in prosperity. The times of affliction, they were there, but they were few and they were momentary, relatively speaking. Just for a short period, your life can become like that. Look at the life of Joseph. He had his afflictions. He had his, you know, he spent the years in Potiphar's house, the years in the prison. But compared to the number of years that Joseph enjoyed, they were almost insignificant. Joseph, after he interpreted the dream of his brothers and his father came and all of that, Joseph was only 40-something years old. He lived until 110. The rest of the 70 years was in prosperity and in pleasure because he learned how to use the glory of God to make afflictions light. In a foreign land, I'm going to add something else, in a godless land, a land of idols. You know, by the power of Ra, you know, the god of the sun. These were the things they were worshipping. None of that thing affected Joseph. Can you imagine? Because he knew how to walk with God. Now, in closing, how then, as a Christian, do we make our affliction light? Our afflictions light. I want to reiterate what I said at the beginning. You cannot do away with afflictions. It does not exist on this earth. It's a lie of the devil that you will not have any affliction. The Bible says many. You know, some people say, I wish he had said few. But but that's what the Bible says. You know, and you can't take away from the word of God. He said many. Why? Because Satan attacks them a lot. Affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. So many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, everybody say, shout, but. The Lord delivered out of them all. Now, how does this happen? We're going to look at two or three scriptures and I'm going to close. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. This is a scripture we should all be very familiar with, where Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, this is why Jesus told us that thing. He wants our afflictions to be light. He doesn't want us to be suffering heavy, heavy afflictions. So he says, look. And he said this thing, some people use that as an evangelistic text. You know, that's really a misapplication. Although, you know, the Spirit of God will allow it and use it. You know, the people in the world are heavy laden. But he wasn't talking about sinners. He was talking about Christians. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Who are the people who labor? Christians. It's Christians that labor in prayer. It's Christians that labor in the word. It's Christians that labor in love. He's talking to you and I. He's not talking to unbelievers. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden. See, when you labor in the word, when you labor in prayer, when you labor in love, you'll be heavy laden because of satanic attack. Affliction will arise for the word's sake. Now, Jesus is teaching us how to make it light. And I will give you what? Rest. Next verse, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your souls, the mind, will, and emotions. Verse 30. For my yoke is what? And my burden of the afflictions will be light. You'll find them light. You will find them light. Now, how does this work out? I've got a thing here that the Holy Ghost gave me. The foundation is meekness and lowliness of heart. The reason why a lot of Christians are going through so much heavy afflictions is because of pride. Now, you know when we say someone is proud, say, no, I'm not proud. Immediately they say that they are proud. And a classical example is Paul. God allowed an evil spirit. And let's not mix God and the devil. You see, God allows Satan, but God is not the one who is, you know, doing the, he's not the author of evil. You know, the Bible says that, you know, Paul, he said, look, I had this problem. There was this, he called it what it was, the thorn in the flesh, a messenger, he didn't say of God, of Satan, who was sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Watch this. And it's happened to so many of us. For this thing, I besought the Lord three times that it what? It, the messenger of Satan, might depart from me. You know what God told him? I'm not going to remove the messenger of Satan. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made. Now, that's old English. My strength will run its full course through you. So, what Paul, let me tell you, let me paraphrase Olubi Johnson, 21st century translation. What God was telling Paul was this: if you will humble yourself more, you will get more grace. And that grace will get to a place where it is sufficient to kick this Satan out. I'm not going to remove Satan. I'm going to give you the grace to overcome him. You remove him. You remove him. I'm not going to remove him for you. I'm going to give you grace that is sufficient for you to remove him. But to get that grace, you have to humble yourself. That is why the foundation for making your afflictions light is meekness and lowliness of heart. That's why Jesus particularly said that. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. He didn't even say I'm wise. He didn't say I'm strong. Now, he was wise and he was strong. But he said, I am meek. Because if you are meek and lowly in heart, you will attract mercy, you will attract grace, which will attract greater measures of life and power. The life will give you wisdom, the power will give you strength, and with the wisdom and the power of God, you will be able to hit the devil and make the affliction light. It's crucial that you understand the sequence of events. What is at the bottom is meekness and lowliness of heart, and that's where we most of us fail. Notice what Paul said. He said that, you know, lest I should be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelations. You know why? Knowledge puffs up. And if you're not careful, because you have more knowledge, and there's nothing wrong in having knowledge, you will think you're superior to others. Then you'll have this attitude. So God had to do something so that attitude would be broken. God had to break Paul's pride. And he did it by allowing the messenger of Satan. There are some of us, this coronavirus has been allowed to break our pride. I don't have time for church. Me, I can't pray for 2 hours every day. Where will I have the time? I can't pray for 1 hour every day. Pastor, you don't understand how busy I am. I'm just, I just don't have that kind of time. Now you have the time. God has used coronavirus to force you to have the time. And I speak prophetically. Don't waste this time. What you learn in these next few weeks and months is going to sustain you for the rest of the decade and the rest of your life. If you will take advantage of this time and spend quality time with God in the word and in prayer, you will build your inner man, you will build your spirit man, you will build your spiritual life, and you will create a bulwark around yourself that no satanic attack can penetrate. But the choice is yours. You can waste this time. If you waste it, like we read in the Bible study in the morning, Jesus said, strengthen the things which are remain that are ready to die. He said, but if, it's conditional. He doesn't want it to happen to you. He's warning you so it doesn't happen to you. But if you don't, he said, I will come upon you like a thief in the night. If you don't, there are other afflictions still coming. This is not the coronavirus is not going to be the last. They are part of the perils of the end time. As a consequence of man's sins, not just the sin of one particular man or one particular nation, it's our collective sins. Down through the years, the ripple effects of them is what the planet is going through. The whole creation is groaning and travailing. You know, it's been made subject to the bondage of corruption. Now, the good news is this. If we will learn what we should learn and use this time to humble ourselves, get more grace, get more mercy, get more life, get more power, build a spiritual bulwark. When this one is over, another one comes, it will become a light affliction. You just kick it. Another one will come, it'll become a light affliction. You just kick it out of the way. Are you listening to me? Don't waste this time. Don't use it sleeping on your bed and just watching movies. There's nothing wrong watching movies. My wife and I watched a few movies a few days ago. You know, but we had prayed about 5, 6, 7, 8 hours before we watched the movie. Hello? We got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Then we prayed until about 11 o'clock in the morning. How many hours is that? 8. Then we watched the movie. So you are permitted to watch movies. Hello? I'm being honest with you. We can't go to work. Everything's on lockdown. You know? So, you know, that day, you know, it was a free day. It was Thursday. We didn't have anything. So I came out and I sat down with my wife and we watched really nice movies. We enjoyed it. So I'm not legalistic. I'm not against you relaxing. But pray first. Spend time in the Word first. Seek first the kingdom. The tithe your time during this time. That's 2.5 hours every day. Not just 2.5, the first 2.5 hours. That's a good morning, Jesus is an excellent platform to exercise this. Then even after good morning, Jesus, you still take your Bible, you read, you spend time, you pray personally, you know, you get something done. By 11, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you can do some office work on your computer. Then maybe around 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you can take a short rest. Then you can watch a movie. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But give God his time. So you will be spiritually strengthened. We are already in the evil day. It's not coming. It is here. Ephesians chapter 6. He redeemed the time. It means buy back. It means shorten the days. It means hasten the coming of the Lord. That's what it means to redeem. It means to buy back. So that these days of calamity will not be long. We can shorten them. The earlier the glory comes, the shorter the day of affliction is. Because when the glory comes, the afflictions will come, but the glory will be there to kick it out. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to close. I don't know if I helped anybody here. Glory be to God. You know, God is speaking to us. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at verses 12 and 13 and then jump to 17 and 18 and I'm going to close. So, Ephesians chapter 6. So, this is the sequence of events. Meekness and lowliness of heart, honesty and humility will lead to grace and mercy. Grace and mercy will give more life and power. More life and power will make prayers avail much. The power of God that is made available through prayer will make the afflictions light. I'm going to go through the sequence again. The bottom foundation, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The foundation is meekness and lowliness of heart. On top of that will come grace and mercy. On top of God will come life and power. On top of God will now come prayer, confession, speaking God's word. When it comes like that, it will now hit the affliction out of the way. The affliction will become a lightweight. Is this clear? Now, Paul says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 12 and 13, in a different way, but it's the same thing. He said, Ephesians, look at 10. Go up to 10. Go up to verse 10. Aha. Finally! This is a great statement because it's written by this great apostle who had given them the highest revelation that God had ever revealed about the church. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, you know, about we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Chapter 2. Chapter 3 talks about being filled with all the fullness of God. Then chapter 4, 5 gives practical instructions. Don't lie, don't steal. Husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. Blah, 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 blah. He gives all of those instructions. Don't tell lies, you know, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, blah, blah. Then he now says, finally. In other words, all these things I've said in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. You are not going to do it unless you do this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But he doesn't stop there. He's going to tell us how we're going. How am I going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Next thing, put on. That's how you're going to be strong in the Lord. Put on half of the armor of God. 90% of the armor of God. Whole. armor of God. That is why every day I teach us, and I practice it myself, I put on all of the fruit of the Spirit. See, God is love. So when the one talking about the whole armor of God, he's talking about all the attributes of love. I can't say, oh, I like patience, I don't like long suffering. Oh, I like kindness, but I don't like gentleness. You need everything. You need everything. Particularly in this day in which we're living. You need everything. So every day you pray, Father, give me more love, more joy, more peace, more long-suffering, more gentleness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more meekness, more self-control, more patience. What are you doing? You're putting on the whole armor of God. That's what's going to make you strong. See, if you don't put on this armor, you cannot succeed in the prayer battle that is down the line. You're putting on the armor so you can go into battle. See, most Christians want to jump from verse 12, 10, and jump to verse 17 and 18. Take the sword of the Spirit and start quoting God's word and praying tongues. You can't pray in tongues and speak God's word effectively if you didn't put on the whole armor. That's why Paul said, if I speak with tongues of men of angels, but I don't have love. The Bible says so. Say, if I speak with tongues, if I don't have love, that my tongue is not going to be very effective. Look at what Jesus said, what Paul said about Jesus by revelation. He said, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears, and he was heard in that he feared. That's why those two prayers at the beginning of every day are crucial. You pray for more of the fear of God and more of the love of God. Then you are ready to go and fight. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All the tricks. Verse 12. For we wrestle, I didn't hear you, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you, see, he said it twice. It's emphasis. The Holy Ghost knows the vital importance of this thing. So he repeats it twice. What? You know, wherefore take on the whole armor that you may be able to stand in the what? Evil day. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are in the evil day now. Coronavirus has told us we are in the evil day. Never in the history of the modern world has the whole world been shut down. And I was, you know, I'm going to send something to the doctors, Pastor Larian, you know, remind me. You know, somebody sent me something on the internet. You know, do you know that they said that this particular virus is a very funny virus? You know, when they draw the picture, it's drawn from an electron microscope. You will see that it has like a round head. Then it has these spikes that are coming out of it. You see those spikes? They are protein receptors. So when it gets to the human being, that spike, we have our own spikes. They said it's like a key entering a lock. He said it always fits directly, and that is how it's able to enter. That it doesn't have a complete DNA. It only has RNA. So what it does is that when it comes in, it now mixes with your own DNA and uses your DNA to replicate itself. You know what the person said? This person was talking, wasn't a Christian. He said he called this virus an evil genius. He said, unlike Ebola and the other ones that make you sick, you know, terribly, you know, and they're very lethal, you know, but you feel sick and immediately you are hospitalized and all that. This one will make you feel as if you're okay. But he is replicating himself into millions before you now start feeling the symptoms. And during that time, he has spread himself all over. It's the devil. Look at that kind of wisdom. And that man, I'm going to send it to you. It's called an evil genius. The coronavirus, evil genius. And then they also said in that they did a complete, thorough scientific study. They've done it. It was not engineered in any lab. It's a natural virus. It replicated and mutated itself to be able to produce this effect. The origin is Satan. It will go back to Satan. It's the origin is not China. It's not 5G. It's the devil. Stop all these nonsense conspiracy theories. Are you listening to me? Have, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to stand, I'm not going to fall. Hallelujah! I'm going to stand, I'm not going to fall. Say it again. Because I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. Are you clear? You're going to make this coronavirus a light affliction. Kick it out. Send it back to hell. Where it belongs. Hallelujah. Well, you know, Satan summed up the sum of wisdom. He engineered this virus. It's a different from all the other viruses. It's so innocuous. It presents as if it's not very harmful. You know? Whereas it's doing, it's reproducing. Then when it finally hits, it goes and hits. He said, the other ones are upper respiratory. This one, watch it. It does both. It will attack upper respiratory first with the cough and all of that. And then it goes to attack lower respiratory, deals with the lungs. You can't breathe and then you die. You have overcome it in Jesus' name. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Verse 17 and 18, and we close. Hallelujah! Am I helping anybody here? So after you put on the whole armor of God, which is all the fruit of the Spirit, they take the helmet of salvation, which is revelation of perfection and the rapture and all of that, you know, then you now take the sword of that. This is offensive. You see, every other thing has defensive. This is offensive now. That's why you now declare, you begin to speak God's word. The prophetic declarations, which is the word of God, but you don't stop there. This is why good morning is so important. You see, it's not enough just to speak God's word. You have to back it with spirit. Back it with the power of the Holy Ghost. In Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God was moving. Then God spake. The word of God and Spirit of God walk together. You cannot have the word without the Spirit. It will be empty words that have no power. The thing that gives the word of God its power is the Holy Ghost. For no word from God will be void of power. But Mary said, how shall this be? He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing that is born in you will be called the Son of God. For no word from God will be void of power. That power is the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? We're dealing with a system here. Praying always. We read that as if you're saying praying sometimes. See, that's what the Bible said. You're going to be strong in law. Praying always with some prayer and supplication in your understanding. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Look at perseverance, supplication. Where does it come from? It comes from the fruit that you put on. You see, I've come to see that this whole thing is a system. You can't cherry pick. Take this one. I don't like this one. I won't do this one. I will do this one. It's going to cause a loophole in your armor. And Satan will exploit it. He's been around for much longer than you have. The only person that can outwit him is the Holy Ghost who made him. Are you listening to me? So this is how you make your affliction light. Meekness and lowliness of heart. Grace and mercy. Life and power. Then pray always in the Spirit. So when anything is coming, even before it comes, the Holy Ghost has already seen it. This is the true meaning of the scripture. All things work together. You take it out of its context. Keep it in the context. It's in the context of prayer. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we do not know. See, my wife and I, and all of us, we didn't know that this coronavirus was going to be like this. But when you start, if you pray in the Spirit regularly, the Holy Ghost knows. So long before coronavirus came, he had already worked in our circumstances. So with the coronavirus now, all things are working together for our good. So if you learn to pray always, systematically, you know, by the Spirit, you will discover that before any affliction comes, you already have the solution in your hand. And you will overcome it. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Be to God. Stand to your feet. If you are home, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. And join us as we just worship God and as we pray. Hallelujah. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the depths of my heart do I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me, Lord, lead to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher. Hear my cry. Everybody sing it at home in this time of coronavirus. Hear my cry.
Hear my cry, Lord.
Attend.
Attend, Lord,
to our prayer. From the depths of our hearts.
From the depths
of our hearts. Do we cry unto thee? And now that our hearts are overwhelmed. Hearts are overwhelmed. Please, Lord. Please lead us to the rock. The revelation. That is higher than us. That is higher than. One more time. Hear our cry. It's a cry from the heart. It's not just a song. Hear our cry, O Lord. Attend.
Attend unto our prayer.
From the depths of our hearts do we
cry unto thee. And when
now our hearts are overwhelmed, please lead us to the rock that is higher than us. That is. Put one hand on your heart, raise the other one to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins, sins of fear, sins of pride, sins of omission, sins of disobedience, sins of neglect of your word and prayer. Have mercy on us. We receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. We receive mercy for life and power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, instructing me, enlightening me, that I can make every affliction light and overcome them. Your word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you, the Lord, you delivered us out of them all. I believe your word. I hold fast to your promise. I say, this coronavirus and any other affliction and peril that will come in this end time, I will overcome all of them. In the name of Jesus, I humble myself. I receive more of the fear of God. I receive more of the fruit of the Spirit. More love. More joy, more peace, more long-suffering, more gentleness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more meekness, more self-control, more patience, so that I will think like you, I will speak like you, I will feel like you, I will act like you, when I pray and in every circumstance situation, so that no matter what comes my way, no matter the affliction, I will have the wisdom, I will have the life, I'll have the power, I'll have the strength to pray in the Spirit and overcome it, causing it to be light, causing it to make minimal inconvenience or damage to my life or to my circumstances. Father, I thank you.
I thank you for showing me how to make every affliction light by the glory, the heavy weight of your glory. In Jesus' name.
Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord.
In Jesus' name. For those of you at home, I pray this prayer during the Bible study. You know, in case you missed that, I want to just send this healing word. He said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I send the healing word to you now. And I deliver you and heal you. Not I, but the Spirit of God that is working through me. You know, the word of God sent forth now to heal you from coronavirus or any other sickness or plague and deliver you from any destruction. In Jesus' name. Just stretch forth your hands towards the screen and pray. Mercy, Lord. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, no more to free ngara. Thank you. La briki tolomo shelo bere de fres. Tolomo tu free du frishes. Tolomo tu free du frishes. Tolomo tu frish. Jo fridik. Tolomo kash. Tu frenek. In Jesus' name. We've come to the end of the service. We want to thank you for spending this lovely time with us. And we're going to close. Mommy, come. You're going to make the announcement about the services.
Yes. We need to be cyber compliant, and we need to be tech savvy, and because of the different times of the globe, we have to listen to people who want to be partakers of the service, and so we decided to break the service into two, and have what we call the Bible Hour, and that will be from 9 to 11. So Scripture Pastor Christian Center Sunday services, we have 9 to 11 a.m. Bible Hour. And then from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. we have our worship service. So you can plan and then you can be a part of what's happening. And then, of course, you know, at that time, you can hear the word. Solid word. Solid word we've been during the Bible service and solid word always during the worship. And I believe that in the name of Jesus, the Lord will deliver us from all afflictions. And then the next verse after this, he will keep our bones and not one bone will be broken in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen and amen. All the services are on YouTube. You can go to them and listen at a time that is convenient for you, wherever you are all over the world. You can, you know, those in America are just getting up, you know, so you can go in and, you know, it's right there. It will be on, you know, so you can just fast forward to the services and to the word, the Bible and Bible Hour and the worship service. So all of it is there. Okay, so let's close the service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the ladder of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live, you will not die of coronavirus. You will live and you will not die. And you will enjoy the glory of God in the land of the living, in even the perfection, the fullness of Christ, in Jesus' name. So the Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to neighbor and say, you overcome all afflictions. Next Sunday, Bible Hour, 9 to 11, and worship service, 11 to 1.